Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14.
Lord willing, I'll be speaking tonight from Revelation and on the second coming. I actually won't be in Revelation much, but on the second coming. Ephesians 3 and verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with all might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. This prayer of the apostle is fitting that we look at these prayers, as I've been preaching on Sunday morning, knowing the problems and trials and tests that we are going through as Christians and in this world and our nation today, the problems and trials of our nation. There's serious trouble. Major divide in the political aspect of our country. Some like I have never imagined would take place, that people would make up a lot of phony lies about the president and condemn him for everything under the sun. They can't say one nice thing about him. And I know he's not perfect, and I know he's made mistakes, and I know he's maybe not done everything perfect. But a lot of what we're hearing is all made-up stuff. And they're doing it more and more as we get closer to the election, trying to create doubt in the minds of people so they won't vote for him. You're going to have to vote for somebody, and you're going to have to stand before God and give an account on why you voted for the person you voted for. As a Christian, you need to be registered to vote, and you need to go vote. I don't care if you have to stand in line all day long. You better go vote, because if you don't, you're going to get what you didn't vote for. And I hope you'll go vote. But there's a major divide in our nation today racially, a major divide in politics. There are cities that have been having daily riots for over 2 months, probably closer to three now. And I mean burning and tearing and looting and killing and all kind of things going on. And we need peace in our nation. We need peace with one another. As Christians, we have a command and a responsibility to love other people. This virus has been used by politicians to cause the shutdown of the schools and churches and cause some people to lose their jobs and their businesses. Billy was on layoff without getting any unemployment or anything because his boss didn't sign him up for it. And he got clearance from the doctor, which was required of him to be able to come back to work. And he got the clearance, and then now his boss has told him he's got to take a $4 an hour cut in pay if he comes back. And that he understands if he has to go somewhere else and go to work. So he's probably going to be looking for a job, and pray for him. James has possibly been released by the doctor. If he has, he's supposed to go back to work, if he's going to keep his insurance and all of that. And as I've told you before, the job he worked before was very strenuous and is very hot. And working with metal, loading trucks and shipping out metal and all that sort of thing. And he's doing very well, and we praise the Lord for that. But after what he went through with the heart attack he had and all the complications he had, they shocked him at least seven times to keep him alive, and broke ribs doing CPR on him. And so, I mean, he had a serious, serious situation. And the doctors had him pretty worried with all the things they were telling him about blockages and going on disability and all of these kind of things. Now they're changing their tune with all that and saying, no, that's not the case. You can be released. So he's obviously concerned over which evidence supposedly is right or wrong, you know. So pray for him to have wisdom to know what to do. and the Lord to provide a place for them. Becca and Jason have got to move out by November 1st. They don't have anywhere to move. They do not want to have to put everything in storage and come stay with us. Jason works the second shift, so he's got to come in late at night and sleep in the daytime. And that makes it more difficult if they can't have their own place to get set up for that. So please remember them in prayer. We're in some crisis because of that. Brother Wayne Huddler lost his job with U.S. Foods. After many years, he was not prepared to retire. His wife, Diane, has major health issues, but she's continuing to work. And so this can create depression, all kinds of complications in what we're going through. Churches in California, I saw another post about the church, Grace, where John MacArthur's pastor, that another judge has now shut them down again, that they can't hold services. And we're talking about thousands of people that meet, and they've been having full services, and a judge ruled that the local ordinance against having service, that they overrode it. But now, apparently, if Facebook is right, they've come back and stopped them from having service. I believe one church in Charlotte that I heard about is having services, but they've scheduled three services on Sunday, so they have no more than 50 people in each service. And that's the kind of things that's going on because of the scare of the virus and because of the political desire to control what people are doing. We're very unable to reach out in evangelism as we once were and discipleship as we once did. Most churches, if they do have service like we're able to have, they're at 50% of their previous attendance of what they were having before the virus became known. In February, in the first week or two of March, we were averaging in the 170s. And now today, we probably have 85 people here this morning or something of that nature. Oh, we got 108. Well, praise the Lord. It went up. Thank you for being here. Mrs. Satish. That's what we call him, Satish. And the missus is here today. Great to see you. I love that smiling face you have. It's always good to see you. You have beautiful children. We're always glad to have them here in service too. And Satish got a new job, which we believe is an answer to prayer. Luke, are you got one coming up this week? Okay, it's supposed to come through. Praise the Lord. So remember Billy and these others that need jobs, Wayne Huddler. At such a time as this, it should make us more aware than we've ever been in our life how much we need the Lord. We need His help. We need His power. We need His wisdom. We need His patience. We need His compassion so that we don't get angry. We want to blame people. I get that way. I get angry. I want to blame somebody, you know. And I get around a couple of our guys that were in the military, and we start talking about sniper rifles and all that sort of thing, you know. Have all those thoughts run through your brain, you know, what we're going to do here. Well, we need the strength of the Lord to do what's right. That's what we need. And verse 16, we read that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. We need the Lord's strength. We need the help of God. And that Christ may be exalted, that He may be magnified. That many of the people who are causing trouble in our nation today just need to get saved. And if they truly knew the Lord as their Savior, they should calm down and work out their problems. And there's no reason not to have a voice. Our government is set up for that, to be equal for all men. And that's important. And if somebody's mistreated, they need to be able to have a voice about that. But I'm going to be honest with you. When people are in the acts of criminal things and resist arrest, I don't have any sympathy for them at all. And that's causing all the problems that's happening in our nation today. And they need to get saved. And how are they going to get saved if we don't tell them? If we don't show them, who's going to tell them? Our being rooted and grounded in love, reaching out to other people. The motivation of love is the strongest motive, not anger. Martin Luther King used to preach that you can't overcome hatred with hatred. It's going to take love to overcome hatred. And we're in the same boat today. So we need to send up our love prayer letters to the Lord and find peace and contentment in our relationship with Christ, that He might be magnified. Verse 19, to be filled with the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, to be controlled by the Holy Spirit is what being filled with means. And it is according to the fullness of God. You know, God's supply never runs out. Walmart runs out. We didn't think it ever would, but it did. Toilet paper ran out. Soup ran out. A lot of things ran out. Gloves, masks. Now Walmart has got a big supply of hand sanitizer, and it's all made in China. I noticed nobody's buying it. I wonder why. Well, look at our text again in verse 20 and 21, because this is really the text of the message today. No matter what we face, regardless of the trial or test or circumstance, what I want you to notice, first of all, God is able. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. God is able. This closing of Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus. Ephesus is one of the most mentioned churches in the Bible. It was mentioned in Acts when Paul was there. We have this letter or book of the Bible written to Ephesus. It's one of the seven churches in the book of the Revelation. Paul sent Timothy here, so he encouraged him when he was here giving instruction and guidance to them. So it is quite often mentioned. An adoration of God by the apostle's heart for the Lord Jesus. He wants Christ to be magnified through God working through us to have the power of God to do more than we can even imagine is possible that God can do. It is, secondly, God's word to His church to give needed and valuable instruction to the church at Ephesus and to us as we go through a crisis time that they went through crisis. They went through great persecution and tribulation and difficulty. What we're going through is not much compared to what they went through. We still got a roof over our head and our families together, and we got a few dollars in our pocket and we can afford to buy something to eat. Then we don't have it like they had it. They were scattered abroad because of persecution. Things in these verses claim our attention. There's three things I want to point out to you. First of all, that God is able. Secondly, it reminds us that the power that work in us is evident in our prayers and praise to God. Everything we thank God for, every good gift comes from Him. And we praise Him and thank Him for everything we have. And it is available to us, and God is working through us to use those things for His own honor and glory. Thirdly, ascribing glory through the church by Christ Jesus. The church has a responsibility to magnify the Lord, to help people come to Christ, to disciple people in the Word of God that they might know more about God and believe God more and see the hand of God working within us. We find ourselves in crisis today. Is there a need in your life? Is there a fear? Is there concern about which way to go? We call on God who's all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present. He's on the throne of the universe, the world He created. He knows what we have need of before we even ask. But He said, ask. And we're asking for His help to get through this crisis that we're going through. He supplies our needs and satisfies our longings. We want God, who is able to intervene in our nation and bring about what will bring honor and glory to Him. And I believe bringing peace in our nation will bring honor and glory to Him. I'm thankful for the way God has worked in the circumstances today to bring a temporary peace in the nation of Israel, to have nations sign on as the United States did, moving their embassy to Jerusalem, and a couple of other nations are putting embassies there now, and an Arab nation has signed on to make peace with the nation of Israel, and a second one, Bahrain, has just signed on also, and others are in the process being influenced by that. I pray that those cousins can make peace and get along with one another. But the greatest need they have is not a temporary peace like this is. It is they need the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as the true Messiah of all men. Believers, don't lose hope. It's easy to get discouraged. If I thought this was my church, if I thought the 41 years I've invested my life in establishing this church and trying to build this church and helping with every nail that's been put in this building and that building and all the additions that we've added, if I wanted to think this was my church, I would be in a state of depression today because of our attendance and offerings not as good as they once were and attendance half what it once was. I'd just be willing to give up and quit and walk away and all that sort of thing. But this church doesn't belong to me. This is the Lord's church. And He's going to either keep it going or He's going to shut it down, whatever His will may be. If He wanted to shut it down, I'd say, why? I don't know why He would do that. I think He wants it to grow and reach people and do the work He's called us to do. And if we do, I believe we'll have His blessings to be able to get through all of this at some point in time. The effectiveness of fervent prayer of righteous people avails with God. James chapter 5 gives us that clearly. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we need to avail with God now in the circumstance we're going through. Our needs may cause us to experience God in ways we've never done before. Troubles and trials draw us close to God, make us study the Scriptures for answers, spend more time in prayer, speak up for the Lord in the midst of trouble. It may help us to be used by God to do things we would have never done before if we had not had the crisis that we're going through. This is His world. He created it. He owns it. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and all the gold is in the hills and all the wealth of the world is His, and He's the one who gives us the ability to get wealth, the Scripture says. Well, thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. This is His church. This is His world. We're just saying, Lord, help us to see what You want us to do and how we're supposed to handle this. Help us not to fear. Help us not to give up. Help us not to get discouraged. Help us to believe God by faith that He is able. God's ability, God's sufficiency, God's glory, God's worthiness, our praise exemplifies all those things when we truly thank God from the heart for what He has done. Secondly, God is able, whatever you say and whatever you face. Would you say it out loud with me one time? God is able. God is able. I believe that. You believe that? Amen. Amen. Praise God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 8, the Bible says He's able to make all grace abound toward you. All grace. In Hebrews 2:18, He is able to succor them that are tempted. And that means protect and provide. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Hebrews 7:25. Christ is alive, risen from the dead. And He's interceding at the throne of God for you and for me. And you know, we bombard Him a lot of times with our wants and our desires. But let's also remember to offer Him our thanks and our praise that He's making intercession for us. In Philippians 3:21, He's going to change our vile body like His body. He's going to receive the praise, honor, and glory from us in Philippians 3:21, not Ephesians. He will change our vile body to be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. 2 Timothy 1:12, he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Jude 24, he is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. God is able. We must not forget that. We must not put it in the back of our brain and not be thinking on it, because right now in a crisis, we need to remember and believe God is able. You got fear? A lot of folks are having fears right now. They're worried about their job. They're worried about their home. They're worried about their finances. They're worried about their health. Their kids going back to school now. We got Manny and Toby are both down at Clemson University for their first year. And Nathan's away at Pensacola. And we've got, I'm sure there's others in school. We got the Sonia and Susan, Sonia's kids. Sonia's two girls are, Sonia's oldest girl, Susan, is a school teacher, and the youngest girl is still in pharmacy school down in Charleston. So remember these all away in college, that they'll be safe, that they'll use good judgment in all their, you know, cleanliness and contact with other people and distancing as much as they can and all that sort of thing. This creates fears. Do you have a need? Luke needs a job to get started so he can get some income coming in. And a couple other men have found jobs, and Wayne needs a job. And we're not sure yet about James. He may be able to go back to work, and maybe they'll kind of take it easier on him or something. But if not, he needs a job. You got needs, you got fears, you got crisis, you got problems, you got trouble in your home with your marriage. If you got that trouble, you got serious trouble. But God is able to save, able to succor or protect. He's able to satisfy the heart relationship we have with him, that we might give him all the praise, honor, and glory for everything he accomplishes. I got notes here and I got them all messed up. He's able to subdue, able to sanctify, able to secure, able to satisfy exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And on top of being all-powerful, all-knowing, and ever-present, God is abundantly generous. He will bless us far greater than what we might think that we want or what we think we deserve. Because our God sent forth His Son to die on Calvary's cross to redeem us from our sins. And God looked down through the portals of upcoming history. In His foreknowledge, He saw who was going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And He provided salvation for us 2,000 years before we came to the point that we needed it. Think about that a moment. It wasn't based on your worth. It wasn't based on your worthiness. It wasn't based on your talent or based on your works. Because when you started to approach God, you were a sinner who was under the just condemnation of a holy God. But God had grace and mercy extended to you. And He is able to save to the uttermost those that believe in Him. God's not unwilling to meet your need. God may meet it in ways you don't know. And His timing is His. We want what we want. We want it right now. God, give me patience and give it to me right now. You know, we think that works that way. It doesn't work that way. God's able and He's willing. We can't distrust God about our best and our good, because that's what He wants. You remember Sarah and Abraham? Sarah laughed because she had a doubt that God could change her body as an old woman to be able to have a baby, and her husband as an old man to be able to father a baby. And so when she heard that, she laughed. So they named that son when he was born Isaac, which means laughter. Moses struck the rock the second time because he had a doubt. God said, speak to the rock and it'll bring forth water, because that rock was a type of Christ, and Christ was to be smitten once on the cross, and then for forgiveness of sins, we ask forgiveness of our sins. But Moses was angry with the people and he smote the rock the second time because he doubted that God would give forth water without striking the rock as he had had to do the first time. See, God is not only able, thirdly, God is good. There's no good thing that he withholds from them that walk uprightly. Psalm 84 and verse 11. He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He is our Father, and he cares about us as his children. He has declared us children of God, or sons of God. Several passages deal with this. Abraham was a child of God. By faith, he believed God. Abraham said, as God told him about his plan, he said, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? Abraham didn't want great herds and a multitude of servants and all the land in the world and all that sort of thing. Abraham wanted a son, because he wanted to pass down an inheritance and a name and a family. And God said, look up at the stars. And as you see them by multitudes, so shall thy seed be. Genesis 15, verse 2 through 5. Abraham wanted a son, just one's all he was asking for. God said, I'm going to give you a multitude like you see the stars up there in the heavens. Jacob bargained with God when he got ready to go into his uncle's territory. And he made a covenant with God, and the place was a stone where he poured oil, made sacrifice to God, and he tried to bargain with God. He said, Lord, if you will protect me and provide for me as I go into this strange land, he said, if you'll provide bread for me to eat and clothes for me to put on, Genesis 28, 19 through 21, he said, then I will serve you with my life. He named that place Bethel, which means the house of God, the place where he met with God. But God did exceedingly abundantly above all he could ask or think. God gave him oxen and asses and flocks and servants. And he gave him two wives and a whole bunch of kids. 12 sons. Genesis 3 and verse number 5. Solomon asked for wisdom and discernment to rightly judge the people as their king. And God gave him more than he could ever imagine. He gave him the wisdom above all men on the earth at that time. And he gave him great wealth. And he gave him a unified nation. And he gave him this harem of wives, joining them to all these other nations so they were at peace among their people. Wealth and power and position all came. God said, I'm going to give you these because you didn't ask for them. You asked for something that pleased me, to have the discernment and wisdom to rightly discern judgment on the people. And God gave him that and much more. This same God that David loved and wrote about, David asked life of God, and God gave him eternal life and a crown of gold and anointed him as king over the nation of Israel three separate times. The first time as a young man, Samuel took his horn of oil and anointed the son of Jesse, who God sent him there to do that. Saul was still the king at that time. And when the time came, God put David on the throne over Judah, his own people. They anointed him as king. And then David continued and united the whole nations of Israel, all 12 tribes. And all 12 tribes anointed him as king. He was God's man in the right place at the right time. And God blessed him abundantly above all that he could ask or think. God's still on the throne. He listens to your prayers and my prayers. And he's unchanging, so he's still able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Have you faced a trial like the three Hebrew young men thrown into the fiery furnace? Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They got thrown into the fiery furnace. If you read, I want to read that. We've got a couple of minutes. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 17. It's after Jeremiah. Daniel chapter 3, verse 17. Let me read verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury and ordered his servants to cast them into the midst of the fiery furnace. And the soldiers that took them up to cast them in, the flames came out and licked and killed those soldiers that brought them and threw them into the fire. Nebuchadnezzar looked into the furnace and he saw four men walking. And he said the fourth was like unto the Son of God. And they brought them to come out of the furnace, and not a hair of their head was even singed. That's the same God that we still serve. Our little trials and troubles and problems are nothing to him who can do that sort of thing. This Lord God delivers us from trial. Abraham, against hope, believed in hope. And God gave him the son that he wanted and all the descendants that came. As we pray, let's remember God's able, his power is unlimited. It is a mighty power that God demonstrates to us, shown in the saving of the lost, the resurrection from death to life. It is an invincible power. It can turn atheists into Christians. God can convince stubborn will of man to humble themselves before God and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, as many have. It is a holy power because it takes away all our unrighteousness and cleanses us and makes us acceptable in the sight of God. It is an infinite power to transform us. One day we're going to be transformed. Christ is going to come with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. The dead in Christ are going to rise up out of the grave. We're going to join them and rise up in the air, and we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and receive a body that is like unto his body. And thus shall we ever be with the Lord. Let us be greatly encouraged to bring God our prayers and petitions. Let's offer him our praise. As William Carey said, ask great things of God, expect great things of God. But let our prayer be for the glory of God, that he has a vested interest in answering prayer when it is for his own glory and honor. Psalm 79:9, help us, O God, of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. Yeah, let's pray and let's live. And let's seek God to be glorified in what he does. And let's ask his intervention in our nation. Bring peace among us as people. I say again, I say it on live stream here to anybody who listens. We are all men made of one blood. The skin color has no bearing whatsoever. And we need to learn to love one another and get along with one another and help one another and pray for one another. And that's where our need lies, not in division and fighting and killing and burning and looting and all of that kind of thing that's going on. And it is not just the black race doing that. All this Antifa and Black Lives Matter group has got a ton of young white millennials that think they're doing the right thing to use all this vulgar language against the police and against the officials and to cause all this havoc in cities. And there's no way that that's God's will, my friends. God's will is to bring peace and holiness and righteousness. Some of our Christian people slip up once in a while, say something, immediately they're smitten by the Holy Spirit. I said wrong. I'm sorry, Father. I want you to forgive me. But you can't stand and use hours of cursing and swearing and vile things and believe that you're a Christian. There's no way possible. You don't have the Holy Spirit living in you if you can do that and not feel guilty about it and not confess it to God. So we need the Lord. We're in a crisis. Let's believe Him. He's able. Father, we bow our heads before You, thanking You and praising You and offering our praise. We know You are able, and we pray that You will work in the midst of our nation and bring about peace. People don't need to be treated unjustly by anybody, by politicians or by the police or by the military or by one another. And so we are not asking for that. We're asking for You to give us the grace to work out our problems and to care for one another with compassion. When You looked over the nation of Israel scattered about, You said they were like sheep scattered without a shepherd. And Lord, I see the nation today that many are scattered like sheep without a shepherd. They're following what they know not. Lord, we want to follow You. And so we lift Your name up and exalt You and pray for Your help. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.